Well, I didn't see an announcement list, so I guess I don't have any. But I do know I've been asked to make... the picnic, we will have a water slide. For adults, too. We tested it out yesterday. It works good. You can just ask these younger guys, Matt and Joshua. And don't look at Justin's back. He looks like he rolled down the road again. We're not certain how he got all chewed up, but the other guys, but they had fun. It was a fun time watching Maverick and Harper and Carter and Grayson and Gage all have a ball on it. So it was a fun time. But yeah, praise God. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your greatness, for your goodness, for your mercy. Lord, we present to you today our tithe and offering. Lord God, I ask as your servant here before your people that you bless it according to your word. Father, as they have given it according to your word will stand true in their lives. Lord God, you will rebuke the devourer for their sake as they are obedient. Lord God, that you will pour out blessing in their lives that they will not have room enough to receive. And Lord, we know that doesn't always include financial, but Lord, your blessings abound daily. So Lord, now receive this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed.
Pastor, may I make a quick announcement?
Quick.
A couple. One is just a reminder that there are sign-up sheets on the announcement table for what you might like to bring to the picnic and how many in your family or friends that you might be bringing, how many are coming with you so we can prepare, order the right amount of chicken and stuff. And one last thing. We got a card from Heartbeat this week, and those baby bottles you filled, $508.80.
Wow.
Thank you. They said thank you, thank you.
Praise God. Yes. That's a good thing. That is a good thing. Oh, praise God. Well, I got to tell you about how good God is as everybody's resettling in. You know, anybody that's known me long enough knows that some, there are things when I get into them, sometimes I have a tendency to go over the top on things, on details, you know. And one of my favorite things as a child was model building. And the harder the model as I got older, the more I loved it. I had a Ferrari F40. It was beautiful. You even put the oil filter on. That's how detailed it was. Brake lines, everything. It was awesome. Till Hurricane Christopher hit it. That was my brother. He walked into the shelf in our trailer. All of them went bye-bye, to include the Harley that I had a picture of that people thought was really my Harley. But anyhow, so Carter had a birthday party, and Grandma, in her eagerness, found a tractor in Michigan in an antique store and said, "Should we get this for Carter?" And I said, "Well, yeah, but it's a little beat up." She's like, "Well, you could fix that." And I said, "Yes, I could. I could. I can make it look like his daddy's." Fast forward to this week, and I'm doing the old crunch. Don't know why I waited so long, but, well, parts, they had to show up. It got lights, it got the right muffler that matched his daddy's, everything. The tractor never came with this stuff. And so I was working yesterday. I had repainted some things that were a little flat, and so I had to take some lights back off, and these lights are teeny tiny. They're like 3/16 of an inch long by an 1/8 of an inch thick, and I had to grind them down to a little more than a 1/16 so that they'd fit where they needed to be. And they're teeny tiny, and, you know, I went and bought some nice fancy tweezers, and I'll just put them on with those tweezers. Got my crazy, my super glue on there, and I'm over there, and don't know what happened, but that teeny tiny little light in my wood shop. I don't sweep the floors every day. As a matter of fact, it's probably been 3 months. So there's sawdust, there's dust, there's cobwebs, there's all kinds of stuff on the floor. And I felt something hit my heel. I was like, oh, okay, same time. Okay, I'm down here. I'm looking. Well, it's not my heel. I'm looking. Got my flashlight. Looking. I'm crawling around on my shop floor on my knees. Fortunately, I have padding, anti-fatigue padding down. And I'm looking. And I'm about to give up. I'm like, Lord, there's four lights. I've got three. I need that light, Lord, Holy Spirit. Show me where it's at. Show me where it's at. And I kept looking. And I kept feeling, well, maybe it's stuck to my foot. Well, no, it's not where it hit. Well, maybe it went to the bottom. No, it's not on the very bottom. I was just like, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. And I looked down, and right there on my shorts was that light. It had fallen and hit my leg. I never felt it hit my leg, but it had fallen and hit that leg glue side down and attached to my shorts. I laughed. I said, Holy Spirit, you're awesome. I said, you got a pretty good sense of humor. I said, here I was looking for it, and it stuck to me. So, but you know, just like that, folks, you want to know what the Holy Spirit can help you do? It was a stupid light that cost me a nickel. By the way, it turns out they sent me five. I didn't know they'd sent me five. I was like, I didn't. Where did that one come from? I only ordered four. So in all of that, the greatness of our God is in the tiny details for your life. Because I was like, I cannot send that, give that to him as a birthday present. Missing a light. I had repainted that thing twice. And yeah. But in all of that, God is in the details in our life. All right, I got to get a drink of water real quick, or I will sound like a blender chewing walnuts. So, for quite some time, I've heard people say things. Nobody in here, just so you can all relax. Heard people say something. I've heard it both on social media, you know, by reading it, and I've heard people actually verbalize it. God knows my heart. He knows my heart. He knows my heart. Now, I went out and got drunk, cheated on my husband, but he knows my heart. I got drunk, went home and beat up my wife, but he knows my heart. He knows my heart. I'm going to help you all out. Absolutely, God knows your heart. He's known it since he created Adam. And he's known it since the day he stood up there and he looked out on mankind. And he said, I regret the day I made this being. I am full of sorrow over this person. Why? Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God knows my heart. He knows it. He knows I want to be good. You know, after all, Paul said, why is it I do the things I don't want to? He wasn't talking about sin like that. And even if he was, you have no idea what he was doing. For him, it might have been a sin. For you and us, and we look at it and it's like, are you stupid? I got to confess to you, I sinned on vacation. And she put the pictures on there to prove it. I ate the biggest strawberry shortcake you ever wanted to see. And I'm paying for that sin. This week, I have to go back to my stringent diet. Because my shirts have gotten tighter. See, for me, it's sin. My pastor in North Carolina, he always struggled with his weight. And so he hated that. He hated that he constantly struggled with it. And so in his mind, in his favorite food, I've talked about him before, in his favorite food was cheesecake. Now, I've come to really, really like real cheesecake. Not the stuff you whip up from Jell-O in a box. the real, I mean, that's good. That's okay too, but it is not cheesecake like you get in a Jewish deli. But he loved it. And if you know what's really in a cheesecake, you will know it's loaded with sugars and fats. And that really, 4 people should eat that piece. But I had a goal the other day when they set at least 1/2 gallon of ice cream in front of me. And 2 pieces of cake that thick on top and bottom. I mean, they must buy the ice cream in those big bulk boxes. I set a goal. Why did I set that goal? The cheesecake cost me more than the pound of bacon on my BLT did. Or strawberry shortcake. We were going back for the cheesecake later, but we decided we probably shouldn't. We hadn't been real blessed on our on our prospective diets. But see, what the problem is that much sugar reactivated, we'll call it the sugar demon. You get a little bit, you want more, and you want more. I still have not had a sweet tea, but I'm telling you, it's right there. I have been drinking my water, but see, the sugar, too much. I got to eating too much, and my body started craving it. Why? Because it wants what it wants. And God showed me something when I was talking to him about this message. And it said, and then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We know that one act of disobedience opened the world to sin. How? How did one act open up cheating, killing, stealing? Well, there's, and I don't even know, is Pandora a Greek? Okay, the Pandora's box, Greek mythology. All of this stuff was being taught, but people just started changing because, well, got away from it. Well, we don't remember the people's names, so we'll make a new name. Pandora's box supposedly unleashed all the evil in the world. Well, here's a real short synopsis of where Pandora's box really is. Right here. Says it. This is before the flood. Hasn't been 1,000 years since Adam sinned. And in that 1,000 years, every sin you could think of was being committed. Murder. Cheating, stealing. And it was so bad that at this point God had said, I am sorry I ever made man. Now, the great part about all that is right at the bottom of that verse, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I remember the Statler brothers singing that. Noah found grace. We opened Pandora's box, and we wonder where sin comes from. Well, it comes right here. I believe it might be even James that says, we fight and we war because of, it is James, because of what we want in our hearts. I want this. I want the best seat in the house. There's no reserved seat. You want it? Get here and sit in it. And God help you if you ever throw a fit about it. Because I've told people before, there's the door. Don't let it hit you where the good Lord split you. I'm not putting up with religion. I have fought so hard in all these years to get away from religion, because it teaches us that, well, you know, there's this, and this is how we need to be. We don't ever call people to accountability. Well, they're a prophet of the Lord. They are a sinner in the eyes of the Lord and need to be called down. And I hope to God that if I should ever crawl into that hole, He puts me in my place. I know he will. I just know he will. Because usually he's over there, hey, dummy, wake up. Yes, Lord. So, God knows my heart. And that's almost the way I read it even, because I've heard, I know one person in particular who lives in this town. God knows my heart. Huh. Do you read the rest of your Bible? Oh, I don't read my Bible. I've read the Bible for 60, 70 years. This person's a lot older. I've read the Bible. There's nothing new. It's called revelation. See, it's what happened in the Garden of Eden. A revelation happened. It started with a revelation, and it's going to end with a revelation. But when they sinned, they opened up all of this. Now, Matthew 15, 16. Jesus said, so are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes in the stomach and is eliminated? You know, you can eat some pretty bad stuff. It might mess up your stomach for a little bit, but it still goes out. You know, I've talked about, I've tasted antifreeze, any kind of oil that can be leaked from a piece of equipment. I've ingested it, dust. I can tell you what salty dirt tastes like. I don't miss those days, by the way. I even know what battery acid tastes like. But whatever goes in your mouth goes to your stomach, and your body attacks it and breaks it down and passes it out. And yes, I have had food poisoning one time. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. Oh, but God knows my heart. There's no repentance in that. You're making a flimsy excuse for your sin. And I'm keeping this rated G for you. As far as your belly button, anytime you hear that and you want to use that excuse, any excuse, reach down here and touch your belly. Everybody's got one and they're all worthless. They don't serve a purpose anymore. As a matter of fact, they kind of hurt when you touch them a little too much. They defile a man. The things that proceed out of your heart come through your mouth. They also come through your body in the form of actions. I just can't help myself. Well, I'm going to help you. I want to help you here. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. He said out of the heart, but yet, then he said mouth, but yet. Okay, so now we have evil thoughts. Murders. I tell you, folks, I planned on killing a person one time. I had it planned out. Knew how I was getting rid of his body. God stopped me. And it was an abusive situation, so don't judge me. Because you'd have joined me. Some of you would have anyhow. Murders, adulteries. That's where it starts. We call our heart right here, but it's really right here. Oh, I love you with all my heart. Yeah, I love you with all my blood pumping muscle. No. You may get a little fluttered in your heart. Might be AFib, I don't know. But it's right here. This is where all of your emotions are processed. You're happy, it's here. You're sad, it's here. The rest of your body pays the price. You're feeling stupid. It started right here. See, yesterday, before we even got to go to the party, I was told, look me in the eyes. You are not to hurt yourself. I went down the slide twice. The second time, I kind of hit my shoulder wrong and said, nope, tapping out. I've already been told not to get hurt. Fornications. The affair started right here. Everything started here. Thefts. I think I like that Bible better than mine. I'm going to figure out how I can get that Bible. It started here. You got jealous. You started coveting what somebody else had. I told Angela the other day, I said, I've got lots of Bibles now. I said, and I got some bigger print Bibles, praise God. And I got a Bible just like this one, just a little newer. This is the first Bible we bought when we started church. Other than that, I used to use a couple old Bibles that I had that, you know, they were really tiny reading. I mean, why? What? Well, I want a slimline Bible. No, you want to have to wear glasses when you're a little older is what you want. But we bought this Bible, and you can see, you know, it's chewed up pretty good. And that's no longer attached. And I have fixed it several times before. But I told Angela, I said, you know what's awesome about this Bible? This one is mine. There are many like it, but this one is mine. But I said, this Bible versus all the other Bibles I have, when God is stirring in me a message and giving me the scriptures, this Bible opens to them. I kid you not. I wouldn't kid a kidder. This Bible will turn, usually I will open it within a couple pages. The other Bibles, I'm not so accurate with them. And yet, this Bible's torn. But out of all the Bibles I've got a Dake Study Bible. You talk about tiny print, because the guy preaches through the whole thing in his notes. This one's more valuable to me. But yet it has cost the least of all of them. So, but her Bible's not broken down. I really need a new Bible. And if anybody ever tells me, you need to fix that Bible, brother, I will slap you in your face. This Bible has battle scars. This Bible has been broke down because it's been used. There are many like it, but this one is mine. And if you cover this Bible, it won't look like my Bible. It'll look like what you want. Anyhow, nice weather. False witness, lies. Telling lies on your neighbor. Did you ever notice that? This is actually what the Ten Commandments say. False witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And let me tell you, help you out. Yeah, we need to speak the truth. How are you doing? Fine. That's a lie. You know you're not fine. You're hurting. Well, people don't really want to hear that you're hurting. They don't want to hear that you're suicidal. They don't want to hear that you're heartbroken. You're not fine. It's a lie. But yet, actually what the scripture says is false witness. See, this lying actually goes to our love relationship with our brothers and sisters. But we should always speak the truth, understand that? But I will tell you right now, and I've said it before, and I will say it again. If there ever comes a situation where my family's in danger and they're hiding, I do not know where they're at. I don't care if you agree with me or not. I'll send somebody on a wild goose chase I don't care. Well, that's a lie. You need to speak the truth. Yeah, and get my family killed, you moron. Well, the Bible says thou shalt not lie. No, it says thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Look it up. Oh, and when it says thou shalt not kill, it doesn't mean in warfare. It says murder. That's why Jesus used the word murder. It was translated murder. Blasphemies. Listen, I'm telling you right now, we've got so many blasphemous preachers today. It's getting scary, and the problem is people are eating it up. I heard a preacher the other day, two preachers that I used to really listen to. I enjoyed them. One spent the whole time talking about how much he loved money. Stacks of $100 bills, fresh $100 bills. How much he loved it. And the word says the love of money is the root of all evil. And then another preacher had the audacity, sitting on a board with other preachers. Some of them I used to follow as well. He said, Jesus hasn't come back because God's people aren't giving enough. blasphemy, folks. And we're eating it up. We're taking it to heart. Oh, bless me, Jesus, with a Rolls Royce. Screw the Rolls Royce. You're going to hell. What do we have to do? Quit giving them your money. That one in particular has 7 jets. Minimum of $20 million apiece. I'm trying not to say names, but I'm getting sick of hearing it. By the way, none of their story can be backed up. Nothing about them exists in the world of their history. Anyhow, that's off my chest. Thank you. I'm serious. We eat it up. Well, they're charismatic, they're free. No. And by the way, I've met the one personally, and it's not the one you think. I was introduced to him at they were ministering at another church. And that preacher had the audacity to say, I got to go. The plane's waiting for me. Don't you own the plane? If my car's out waiting for me, it doesn't go anywhere until I say it goes. Not the pilot. That was when I started seeing the reality. And I've had people, oh, you're not the same. You're not the same. You don't preach the same message. I have always preached the word of God. And when I find out that something that I used to believe is a bunch of hogwash, that's where I'm going to leave it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't preach prosperity over holiness. I will preach to you the word of God. Prosperity is a result of serving God. And what good does it do me to have $1 billion and die? What good? I'm going to die one of these days. And I got $1 billion. Well, you can leave it to your children so they can fight. We look at these billionaires and millionaires that write their kids out of their wills and we say, oh, you're such an awful person. That's the best thing they could do for them. Why? Make them pursue their own doggone dreams. Make them fight for what they want. Oh, I got it so easy. Here, let's just see what I can do. I mean, look at the Kardashians. Not a one of them works. And if you watch their show, shame on you, because you're why they're rich. Sorry, buddy. Paul, stop. These are the things which defile a man. These things. Those things that come out of there's what defile us. And Jesus was making sure we understood that the blasphemies was included in that. That defiles us. Yes, people use the word of God to justify it. People use the word of God to justify every sin they want. I'm free from that. Hallelujah. I'm going to wear a miniskirt to church. Not here, you're not. I know, I got a fire extinguisher and I know how to use it. And by the way, I can tell you what that tastes like too. That's awful stuff. Which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. We're so much more worried about how they smell. Here, let's go back 100 years. Arid extra dry didn't exist. Right guard, raise your hand if you're sure, right? Strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. It really is strong enough for a man, by the way. It works. Had two in a pinch. I smelled really very good the rest of the day, but that's the stuff that defiles us. Not getting grease. If you look, I got John Deere green in my fingernails. I don't care. That doesn't defile me. It's what's coming out of here. What's coming out of my heart? I don't know why I still hold my chest. Talk about a religious habit. My heart. No, my heart. It's what's coming out of here that defiles me. Well, you're just a violent man. Every person should be violent when it's necessary. And just like the fictional character that Jack Nicholson played, the truth is you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. You need men to do violence, but you don't. But you want to tell them how to do it when it's their lives. I would rather you pick up a gun and stand a post or just say thank you. That's all paraphrased. Yes, I have seen that seen a couple times. But to wash with unhands does not defile a man. If that's the case, how do you think I know what grease and oil and all that stuff tastes like? Didn't always have the ability to clean my hands right then, but it was lunchtime and I had to eat peanut butter, jelly, and a little bit of axle grease. Axle grease works great. Romans 12, 2. Now we're going to look into how to get this mind. And do not be conformed to this world. What happened when Adam and Eve ate of the tree? They became conformed to the ways of this world that existed. Hear me out. Get it out of your head that the earth is only 10,000 years old. Because there's evidence that it's not. There were no dinosaurs on the ark. We could not exist with dinosaurs. You try living in a house with a 100-pound dog and a child, and you tell me how we could have got along with dinosaurs that are 65 feet long. They didn't mean to, but they'd knock you into the next county. But anyhow, so the way of the world was before. Again, there's a whole message on that. Someday I might do it again. And do not be conformed to the way of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your heart, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do you renew your mind? Right here's one of the ways. The other way is the way nobody wants to do. They don't want to pick it up. Do you know one of the things that I learned best for me? This is for me, and some of you may be like me in this regards. Is to read a little bit and ask God to help me understand what was being said, why it was being said. We need to understand why sometimes. Why did he say that? Well, there's a reason why he said that. And even in this Bible, I have little notes that I've written in there, and I wrote them out and asked a question, and later, years later, found why. So, study. Ask God. And if you don't get a reply right then, go back doing what you were doing. Well, I need to spend an hour studying. All you're doing is spending an hour spinning your wheels. I knew where I was going, what I wanted to preach, because I had actually a couple things. I'm like, Lord, I had a couple things I needed to do. And he said, not today. Okay. Do this. This is what he just kept going over and over. God knows my heart. I tell you, I laugh every time I hear it. God knows my heart. You got to get that sorrowful southern draw on it. If you are trying to spend an hour studying the word out on your own interpretation, you're not going to get it. And by the way, you're not going to get it without the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that wrote it. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to interpret it and tell you why and explain to you why. Because sometimes he's going to point out and look, you know, look at David. David's a man after God's own heart, man. We put David on a pedestal and he's great King David. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. But he was great King David. Yeah, and he's somebody that you wouldn't talk to today. He was also highly depressive. But the reason why God said he's a man after my own heart is because, one, he wanted the best for the children of God. And he wanted God. He knew it. Look in the Bible and understand that when he's asking these questions, oh, protect my heart, protect me, oh, Lord. I was trying to read this. Like, Lord, is there a psalm I need to read today? And I'm looking, I'm like, come on, David. How many songs can you write about feeling overwhelmed? But there's one thing he always came back to. But you, O Lord, you are my rock, my fortress. You are my strength. And there is why, ultimately, he was a man after God's own heart. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Oop, don't go. Yep, I knew it. Too many times. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, folks, we got to get the word in us. That's how you're starting to renew your mind. You're not renewing your mind to the way you were born. You're renewing your mind to the way Adam was created. When Adam sinned, that's when all holds came off of our minds. And we thought about how to kill each other. We thought about, oh, well, I need five wives so my children can be all over the place. And you don't take care of them. I had three. I can't imagine. There's some of these rappers and movie stars running around, 20, 30 children, 17 different mothers. And we glorify them. How stupid can we be and still breathe oxygen? By not being anxious. Being anxious is kind of a hard thing to control, isn't it? I mean, there's days you're anxious, like, oh, I just can't wait. I mean, there's this thing, when I got something I'm going to go do, I'm like, I can't sleep. And I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, I'm not supposed to get up till 8. Why am I awake? Because I'm anxious. But then there's, what do you think about the elections next year? Oh, I just don't know. I don't care. I'm voting the way I feel God's leading me to vote. Because ultimately I know it's in his hands. He already knows who's going to be the new leader in this country. He knew all about the last one. Why do you think mysteriously it just went? God's got a plan bigger than you could ever imagine. God, and remember, David was the chosen king. He allowed Saul to be appointed. And for Saul to be pointed out to be wrong. But after that, they didn't have very many godly kings. Because Israel kept going back to, well, this is what we need. Ask God what you need. Nobody needed that little, possibly redhead, because they talk about him being ruddy, so he was very pinkish in his color. Might be actually, you know, if he's a shepherd out in the field. You know, somebody was pointing out to Justin the other day. He's like, boy, you've really gotten some sun on you. And I said, yeah, he's a real redneck. Which, by the way, is where the term came from. It doesn't mean anybody's stupid. It just means somebody that's out and works hard. But the reality is, we don't want that. We don't want somebody who goes out and works. We want somebody that's loud. I want who God wants. If they are loud, praise God. But I want somebody who can lead the country by the power of the Holy Spirit, not leaning on their own understanding. Obviously, that's kind of where we're at right now. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, the supplication of thanksgiving, Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I thank you for my family. And you can't just stop there and be only thankful for your family. I've told you time and time again, find you a place and sit. Put your chair, favorite chair, or swing under a tree and take the time to listen. Take the time to see the beauty that is in this world. It was created by God for our enjoyment. And I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm not saying start worshiping creation. That's what druids did, and that's what got a lot of people in trouble. I'm saying start observing. See the majesty. I told you last week I was talking about the seagulls. I mean, I got a bunch of pictures of seagulls. And they are what they are. They're pretty when they're quiet. But when we got back, we started just talking about the other birds that we could see and we could hear. But yet the one that everybody really thinks is, just a little brown sparrow. Who cares about that sparrow? It had the most beautiful song, and if you actually take the time to look at that tiny little bird and see the many shades of brown and whites that are in that bird, and how it's not just God hit it with a paintbrush, it's one individual strand of that feather that's white, and the next one, and the next one, and then it changes. That's God. And that's how much detail he gives to you. The Bible says he knows every hair on your head. He knows when they turn gray. He knows when they fall out. He knows everything about you. As he told Jeremiah, "For I knew you before you were even conceived in your mother's womb. I knew everything about you. I knew my plans for you." God knew his plans for my life. We were talking the other day, and I said, I actually had two job offers to go work for two other electrical companies, Jess Howard and New River Electric out of Columbus. You might have seen their trucks. The company that I was waiting for went out of business. Go figure. But God had another plan for my life. And so he had to put me where I needed me. But the thing was, he knew that in 1969. He knew that when I was conceived. There's his life. Here he's going to break his leg. 6 months later, he's going to break it again. He knew it. He knew everything I was ever going to do. Over here, he's going to get drunk and run into a wall. That hurt. Broke my foot, I think. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Oh. I forgot to put an extra. But if our heart condemns us not, then we know that we're right with God on it. And here's the problem with those people that say, "Oh, but God knows my heart." They've never renewed their heart, their mind, to get in line with what God says. And they assume they'll always battle. You don't always have to battle. They assume they can just go and keep doing what they want. Here to tell you, you cannot. There is a lifestyle that is supposed to start accompanying being a Christian. The problem is what the church has taught over the years, and for all branches, is you need to come in and wear a suit and tie. You need to look a certain way. If you got tattoos, you need to hide everything. And piercings. There's some piercings I don't fully understand, but it's your piercing, not mine. And no, it's not in the Bible. But we look at it. Oh, women, you need to have your head covered. You need to have your hair pulled up in a bun and wear a doily on your head. You'll be holy then. Because we're going back to the Bible. You're going back to a system that God himself actually abolished with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because all we did is we taught ourselves to be whitewashed sepulchers. We're graves. But boy, aren't we pretty. We got our suits on. I mean, I don't mind wearing my suit, but I got to drop that vacation weight. But we look so good. But yet, we go home, we beat the wife, smack the kids around, get drunk, go cheat on the wife, go to work, act like we're a great guy. Oh, everybody loves him. Until they go home and find the people that know him the best. I just read, didn't read the full article, but I read enough of it. This guy was killed in 2006. He was a mob hitman. And the article was trying to create sympathy because his wife killed him. He beat the living daylights out of her and her kids. And people are like, she should be in prison. Absolutely not. Gentlemen, the second you raise your fist at your wife, you deserve a frying pan. That's all I got to say. Ladies, you don't want hit? Don't hit. Yeah. You won't hit a woman? I'm going to hit you. You're starting a fight, and I'm going to tell you right now, from a guy, you can only take so much. I'm not, believe it or not, I really am not a fighter. Usually, you can hit me in the chest, not going to get a whole lot. Hit me in the face, you lit the candle. Hit me again, it's on. I got to be agitated to fight. And we've always had it. And if you've always had your discussions, I don't care who you are. You've had your discussions, you had your disagreements. How you handled them is your deal. But we're a little vocal about it to each other. But she had also tried to hit me. I said, I told you I'd never hit you. Now don't hit me. She didn't. Now we give each other the old, when the other one gets a good jab in. She got me good the other day. And then I returned the favor. But that was in jest. But you see, I knew a couple. I know the couple. They're still alive, but they're no longer a couple. Samoans. And if you know anything about Samoans, let me help you out. Dwayne Johnson is a Samoan. They're big people. If they are pure Samoan, they are big people. They didn't play football if somebody didn't get a broken bone. Okay, that's how they like, they're rough. It's just in their heritage, and they're big people. Women too. And this husband and wife, she gave out as much as she got. It was totally wrong on all the way around. But I'm here to tell you, you need to listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you're one step away. Hush. Lift the sandpaper, so to speak. And I had nothing to do with about this. Well, but I don't know why you said it. I don't know why I had to say it either. So evidently, somebody possibly knows somebody, or you're possibly dealing with it. Maybe your wife likes to hit you in her anger. If that's you, knock it off. It's not justifiable. Even when I do the messages for a wedding, I will say that I love this part because I got it from another preacher. He said, God made you from his side, not from his foot. And no man had, I don't hate myself. I don't sit there and just bang on. Here, let me mash my thumb with a hammer. I try everything in my power not to do that. If I get hurt, it was unintentional. So I'm not going to hurt my wife. So we have got to start watching that. We got to start renewing our mind, getting in the Word of God, listening to what the Word of God has to say to us. Praying. I'm not going to stop telling you to pray. But by the way, when you, and I'm telling you to talk to God like he's your friend, but understand, he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of all things. He's the great I am. He's not your equal. And we listened to, did we listen to it? Or did you read it to me? You read it to me. I'll wrap up with this. We all say, well, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. And man, ain't no difference between you and a heathen. You ain't even really trying to live a life. You go to church on a Sunday, oh, I got justified today, I got redeemed today, and then you go back out, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow, and then Saturday night, they find you crawling back home with lipstick on your collar. but I'm a friend of God. Jesus threw a stipulation in there. I no longer call you servants, but I call you my friends. If. Two words. You ever notice there's the word but, B-U-T, three letters. If, two letters. Small, tiny words, but they change so much. If you do as I've commanded and you love one another. Huge difference. And when we get in there and we say, oh, hey, do you know that's why we still actually have the Old Testament? Is to go back and look, yeah, I see this. I see what you were trying to get at, Lord. I see you were trying to reach these people. You sent prophets. God had to have sent prophets to the land of Canaan before Israel got there. He had to have. By the way, Israel's not the only, weren't the only believers. Jethro was a believer. Balaam, he talked to God. He had a gift, but pretty sure he was just straight up witch. But there were other people who knew God. This was just from the line of Eber, which was Abraham's line. That was the son of Shem, if I remember correctly. And that's where we get the word Hebrew. It's from Eber. That's it. You're only a friend of God if you're following his commandments and doing them. If you're not doing them, you're not a friend of God. You're an enemy of the state. All right, let's stand. Now, I will address this right now. Do not ask me who the preachers were. Not going to tell you. But just know, if they're not back there, giddy up. Anything that goes back here in that library has to be approved. Well, sounds like you're shepherding, Pastor. Yeah, that's kind of my job. And if I think somebody's a false prophet, I'll just flat out tell you. Nope, get that book, just throw it away. I don't even pass it on. I got a big dumpster for a reason. There's a lot of garbage that has to go. But you need to start asking God for your life and about everything in it. All right? Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you have made provisions. Lord, that you have made the provisions so that we could be joined back together with you. Lord, that reading your word and conversing with the Holy Spirit, even on a daily basis, even a continual, as Paul said, to pray without ceasing, that's simply talking to you. Lord, that you will give us revelation of your word. You will tell us what you are meaning. Father, that you will become a part of our life every day, just as you, Holy Spirit, showed me that teeny tiny little light stuck to my own pants as I crawled on the floor for 20 minutes. Lord, thank you for all the things you do for us. Father, I know it is our desire. And bless our hearts. You know our hearts. And Father, I believe people in here want to be your friend. Father, help us to listen to your Holy Spirit. Father, give us the flick on the forehead when we're ignoring you. Father, to get our attention before it's too late. And now, Father, I thank you for these people. Oops. And Lord, right now, before I leave, Father, I pray for my sister Monica. Lord, you know what she did to her knee. Father, you know what is damaged. So, Father, I pray right now that you begin to restore, you begin to heal this damage, Father. And even as she goes to find a specialist to look at it, Father, because you're not against doctors. We know this. But, Father, I thank you that you're going to move. And, Lord God, that I'm praying she does not have to have surgery, but just rehabilitation on it. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're helping her. Lord, and even if she's got to be off of it for a little bit, that you're going to help her mind to wrap itself around that thought, because I know she's always doing something. So, Father, give her the patience, give her the wisdom, in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, bless these people. Father, move in their lives mightily this week through your word, through revelation of who you are, through your truth, and through your love. In Jesus' name, amen.